We'll call the meeting to order. It's quarter after. We like to start on time and we like to end on time. That's even better, right? So members, today it's more of just a housekeeping. We want to make sure that we have all the kinks worked out through all this. Right, Mr. Bratz?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So my dear friend Mr. Bratz here is a little nervous today, so I said we'll just work out the kinks and everybody will be fine. Everybody will be fine. So because of some time constraints potentially, I wanted to start. We're going to be doing some introductions with everybody, staff, and all the members as well. But I would like to pay Mr. Peterson. Tom, don't be going anywhere, buddy. Not yet. All right? So one of the things, and I did visit with Representative Clark, Representative Karen Clark, on this idea and stuff as well. And one of the things we'd like to do is recognize someone special who is involved in agriculture all across the state. And we have a resolution put in place here today, signed by the Speaker and the Majority Leader and the representative, which is Rarick, Representative Rarick, for this individual that we're going to recognize here today. And then, so what we're looking for is if you have somebody special in your district that's done something great in agriculture in some way, shape, or form, if you could please bring that to our attention, because we'd like to recognize them. And like I said, all across the state, right? The next individual is from where, Mr. Bratz?
He is, his name is Edward McDonald. He is
from Minneapolis.
From Minneapolis, and he works on the Black Agricultural Council.
Okay, thank you so much. So that would be the next individual. So we do have a few that are in the pipeline. So, but be thinking about that and bring them forward. And Representative Clark, that's your individual, your constituent, is what we're talking about as far as the resolution. So, anyway, we want to do this at the beginning of every meeting that we have, kind of set the tone, if you will. And the first one that we're going to recognize, the first person, and it's well-deserved to say the least, and it is Mr. Tom Peterson. And Tom's in the background, in the back up there, and putting you on the spot, Tom. And if I could just read through there, you know, Tom serves as Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Farmers Union. He held that position since 2002, right? Yeah, you're becoming an old guy around here. And you're responsible for lobbying and working with farmers, members in Washington, D.C. and St. Paul. Also serve as the Farmers Legal Action Group Board of Directors and the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Fair Plan, which help homeowners and insurance when they cannot get it on the open market. You served on the Next Gen Energy Board, and you and your family, you're in farming and ranching operation most of your life, live in Pine City, and you have two kids, right? Two little curtain climbers. And the really cool thing about Tom that I want to point out, which I didn't know until we sat down, we were visiting about this, Tom and his family work with people with disabilities and also with disabled veterans, and that's very cool. And it was with horses, and you, some people that you're working with actually competed in the Special Olympics and whatnot, and everybody got first the way I understand it. So, yeah, that's absolutely remarkable. So, friends, if you would welcome or please join me in just congratulating Tom on special recognition. So, and now we expect a big speech, Tom. Big speech. So. Yeah. Absolutely. So we'll get this to you. And Representative Clark, the next Thursday, I believe, Mr. Bratz, right? And so we're going to be recognizing someone special in the area in which you serve. So, okay? And so then again, if you have anybody in mind in the areas in which you serve, I have, there's an individual in Highland Park. Does anybody here represent Highland Park? No? We need to find that. It's an ag teacher, Mr. Brown, Peter Brown, who's done some exceptional work at the Highland Park High School. And I'd like to, I've known him, I guess I've known him for a while, so I'd like to, throw that name in the ring as well. So at this time, members, if we could just go around and introduce ourselves. If it's okay, I'd like to start with staff. Chair Knobloch did that in Ways and Means, and I thought that was pretty cool. So you want to lead us off, Mr. Knisely?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Mark Nicely, committee administrator for this committee and also for the Ag Policy Committee. I've been a House employee for 12 years. I've had, there's my old FFA jacket from...
Does it fit?
..from a few years ago. It's, Mr. Chairman, members, it's a little bit snug in the front. Just a little. I've been a legislative assistant, constituent services writer, a couple stints as caucus research. This is my third go-around as a committee administrator, and looking forward to working with all of you on Ag for the next 2 years.
Thank you. Mr. Bratz.
Thank you, Chair members. My name is Alex Bratz. I graduated from Carthage College in 2013. I received my Bachelor of Arts degree in accounting. I got introduced to legislature with Chairman Hamilton here, and I started as a field staff with Representative Knobloch and Representative Tice in St. Cloud this past summer / fall, and I will be working as your CLA this year, and I'm looking forward to a great 2 years with all of you. Thank you.
And you were nervous. You did great. You did great. So if we can go to Mr. Sullivan.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Colby Sullivan. I work for the Nonpartisan House Research Office. This will be my 10th legislative session staffing the agriculture committees. I'm at your service to draft any bills or amendments that you need in the agriculture area or any related policy research needs that you may have.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Ken Sabry of the Nonpartisan Fiscal Staff. Like Colby, I'm here to assist the committee in anything you would need from the financial side of the portfolio. It's my second session here at the Capitol, first with agriculture, and I also cover higher ed.
Thank you. And we have the partisan staff, right? So you're pointing over here because I have a funny story about you. So, yeah, I'd like to introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Brian Perro. I'm on the GOP research team supporting the committee, also supporting the Agricultural Policy Committee. I'm looking forward to working with everyone this session.
Thank you, and welcome.
Ready?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Nancy Conley, and I'm Brian's counterpart for the DFL, and I have Ag Finance, Ag Policy, Commerce, and Legacy. And I look forward to working with the Ag Committee again, as I did 2 years ago.
Yes, and a couple of years ago, Ms. Conley, there was a picture that we had floating around here, that we saw floating around here. Can you describe what that was, please?
I'm very proud of that picture. That was one of my better pictures.
Yeah.
That just gives you a clue of how well I take pictures.
Yeah.
I participated in the polar plunge. And so he saw a picture that had
with a plunger
on my head.
Yeah, that's great.
But it was a great experience for a great organization.
It was a great picture. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And let's see, we have Pages.
Mr. Chair, my name is Simon Wenzel. I was a page of the last session. I'm very excited to be back for this one. Not necessarily will be the sign of this committee. We're still determining that, but look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you. If you're nice to us, you'll be assigned to this committee, all right?
Chair and members, I'm Sam Moyer. I'm a first-year committee page, and, yeah, I'm happy to serve you guys.
Thank you. Welcome. So now if we could go around and introduce members as well. Did I miss any staff? Did I miss anybody? All right. So, and thank you to all the staff. They're the ones that make us look good, right? So if we could start, Representative Keel, if we could start... with Vice Chair Representative Keel, and then we'll go to Representative Poppy, if that's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm thrilled to be back and serving on the Ag Finance Committee. I come from Crookston. I farm south of Crookston, live about 8 miles from Crookston, and I raise wheat, soybeans, sugar beets, and we've done corn in the past, although rumor has it it's not very lucrative, so it probably won't be planted on the Keel farm. So, but I also come from a district that has very little animal agriculture, but there a little bit. And I actually have a brother who runs a hog operation along with the crops that we grow. So, and looking forward to the year.
Very nice. Thank you. Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to be here. I represent District 27B, which includes Spamtown, USA, which is Austin, Minnesota, and surrounding areas, and most of Mauer County, one township in Dodge, one township in Freeborn, so it's in southern Minnesota, just north of the Iowa border. I grew up on a farm outside of Houston, Minnesota, so southeast of Minnesota, and I was not an FFA member, but that's more because of my age rather than my interest. Certainly, FFA when I was growing up was mostly just boys that were allowed to participate. So I appreciate that there are so many young women here that are representing FFA and agriculture and doing the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you hear that? Or mostly boys.
Boys.
So, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm Clark Johnson. I live in North Mankato. I represent District 19A, and I'm glad to be on this this committee. I'm also on the policy committee because agriculture is just central to where I live. I represent Nicollet County, which is just a breadbasket. It's a very rich farming area. I also represent part of Mankato, including some processing plants for agricultural goods, and it's Mankato is kind of an agricultural processing center. And I represent Mankato Township in Blue Earth County and also Kasota and Kasota Township in Lake Seward County. So it's a thrill to be here. I think there's a lot that this committee can do to promote agriculture in Minnesota, and that's my prime motivation for being a member of this committee.
Thank you. Yeah, welcome aboard. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul Anderson's my name, and I'll be chairing the policy part of this committee, which meets on Wednesdays. So thank you for getting things going with the agriculture this year, Chair Hamilton. Real good to see the emphasis placed on agriculture, and it just amazes me that agriculture is such a vibrant part of the economy. A couple of years ago, corn was $7 a bushel, and grain farmers were doing well. Livestock, not so well. And I represent Stearns County, which is the largest dairy county in the state, also Polk County and Douglas County, a good area of Minnesota for agriculture. But things have really flip-flopped. Livestock has been good the last year, hogs and the beef, as well as dairy. And crop farming has just not been so good in terms of cash flow. And a real concern I have is that, you know, commodity prices swing up and down. That's normal. But the input costs for agriculture, although diesel fuel is coming down, but fertilizer, seed, land rent prices have really stayed up there high, and it's causing a concern for cash flows in production agriculture. So some things we hopefully can look at and just help to keep this industry very good in Minnesota. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And you talked about commodity prices, and I don't know if anybody from the corn growers is here, but when Ryan Buck was the new president of the corn growers, he came in at $8 and left at about $3. That was his legacy, so with the corn growers. So if you see him, heckle him. He's a dear friend, so heckle him. Representative Bly.
I'm Representative David Bly from Northfield, the community of Cows, Colleges, and Contentment, and with a long history of agricultural industry and things like that, home of Malt O'Meal. I also represent northern Rice County and eastern Le Seward County, also very good agricultural areas. I was not a farmer. My grandparents and great-grandparents farmed in the Ruthton area and also the Belgrade area, so I'm familiar with that. My first teaching job was in Milan, Minnesota, where it was surrounded by lots of farmers, and Mr. Clavin was one of my students many years ago, so have some connections with agriculture.
Thank you. Representative Bly, you have a remarkable individual in your area as well. Reginaldo?
Yes, Rahe. And I was, when you mentioned this, he was the first person that came to my mind.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that.
Excellent. Thank you. Representative Applebaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Applebaum. I'm a freshman from Minnetonka, Plymouth, and Woodland, which is District 44B. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm really looking forward to working with everyone, learning how we can benefit the agriculture community of Minnesota, and thanks for including me on the committee, and it'll be great to get to know everyone better and making some real differences for all Minnesotans.
Nice. We're happy you're here. Thank you. So, Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton. My name is Mike Sundin. I grew up in Cochinchin County on a dairy farm. I happen to be part owner of that farm right now. It's a Century Farm, and it's been in the family since 1898. So, I have some experience with agriculture growing up on that farm. Right now, I represent District 11A, which encompasses Carlton County, and probably the biggest growth industry in Carlton County right now is organic farming. So I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on the issues that affect those farms.
Yeah, very nice. And I went drove through your district here. The governor, and they had a invite up to the Polaris dealer way up north. And so I was driving through, and I saw your signs out here this last fall. It's a beautiful area. Beautiful area.
I'll save one for you.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, you look different than last time I saw you.
I was going to say I have clothes on, but that would have been terrible. So I can explain. I can explain. So do you, buddy. I can explain. Maybe you want to explain.
Oh, no, I'll let you go.
Yeah. You're the chair. So Representative Hansen and I were at a, it was the Ag Chair Summit. And so it was held in Clearwater Beach. And so all of a sudden I heard Rod Hamilton, and I turned around, and here's Rick. We're both in our, you know, bathing suits. So, yeah, I'm glad we're dressed up today, I'll tell you that.
And that was a good meeting, and I think it showed that people can be bipartisan. We got to meet with our peers from all around the country.
Absolutely.
And hear updated things. I'm Rick Hansen. I represent West St. Paul, South St. Paul, Mendota Heights, and the two small towns of Lilydale and Mendota. And I'd encourage you, if you don't want to eat in St. Paul, come out. I know, Paul, Moose Country, you like to come out there. There's plenty of places in Dakota County we'd be happy to host but not pay, I guess, either way. I am still actively engaged in farming, even though I represent a suburban district. I have about 600 acres in Fremont County and in Fillmore County, growing corn, soybeans, alfalfa, and native grasses. And in my district, in South St. Paul, used to be the largest stockyards in the world 100 years ago. But the only packing house that's there now is among do-it-yourself butcher. So I know we did a tour a few years ago when the Council of State Governments was there, but it's close, and I'd encourage folks to visit and be happy to host that. And look forward to working in the committee.
Glad that you're on the committee, Representative Hansen. Representative Metza. No? All right. Representative Fabian. You guys going to arm wrestle?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, we're not. I'm not going to arm wrestle with an Iron Ranger, that's for sure. But I assume that one of my main jobs on the committee will be to not necessarily keep Representative Metz in line, but to maybe give him a little bit more perspective on ag. And maybe he can do the same thing for me for mining. But
that is your only job.
It is. I represent District 1A, which is the furthest northwest corner of the state. Roseau, Kitson, Marshall County is a part of Pennington County. In terms of agriculture, it's one of the most unique places in the state. I'm a crop hail adjuster as well. And 4 years ago, I adjusted 14 different crops. So we don't grow just soybeans and corn. We grow everything from canola. We got a very large canola crushing processing plant up there. We grow sugar beets over in the Red River Valley, and wheat and flax and corn. And a couple years ago, I was at the corn growers meeting. And just as there was a lot of noise, but they asked the legislators to say a few words, so I did, and I just wanted to find out if anybody was actually listening. And I said, you know, we're even growing corn up in Roseau County now, right close to the Manitoba-Canadian border. And we grow some 260 bushel corn up there. And then there was this pause, a hush came over the room, and I said, mind you, it takes 2 acres to do that. But so we do grow. Our president of the National Turkey Growers is from Badger, Minnesota, in my district. Minnesota is the largest turkey-producing state in the nation. I believe it's 44 million birds. The cattlemen, we have a lot of cattle up there in addition to our crops, and it's a great place to be from. I'm very, very excited about the direction that agriculture is taking in the state of Minnesota. The precision ag, you know, when I was a young kid, I grew up and I drove a D17 Alice Chalmers tractor and pulled a 65 John Deere combine. things have changed a great deal. We've got Roseau County is the only county in the state that has been approved by the FAA, not the FFA, to fly unmanned aerial systems over crops up there and then do the imaging to determine soil contents, what's going on with the plants and so forth. It's a very, very exciting time. So there's just a whole host of issues that I'm really excited about, and I'm proud to be serving with you, Representative Hamilton. I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Rukavina. I miss that guy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason Metza, District 6B. We do farm rocks and trees in my district, and outside of my population centers, we actually do have quite a bit of agriculture. I border with Representative Sundin's district, and we are seeing, I think, an expansion in a lot of our local farming, whether it be organic or beef. I've got a few constituents who I've worked with, and we'll keep some names in mind and start learning more of my smaller farms in the district. Obviously, a lot of you are in much bigger farming areas, but I look forward to learning more about the issues and seeing how I can support our agricultural system around the state.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I'm just kidding. I like you a lot better than Representative Rukavina.
Right. Oh, I'm way nicer.
You are? Yeah.
And taller and better looking.
Yeah, true. All the above.
For public record.
All the above. I'm losing all control here. So, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton. First, I want to start by thanking you for reaching out to me and inviting me to bring the issue of urban agriculture so much into the fore. I'd really appreciate it, and it means a lot. And so we're going to do that. It's one of the things that I do. I represent the inner city, three inner city neighborhoods and a part of a fourth in South Minneapolis. It's the most dense district, the smallest, but we have urban farms going to town there, and as the whole metro area does now. So I I'm really pleased to be on this committee. One of the things I do in my spare time is help run a small organic farm, and we have, I think, about 20 acres and about 7 acres of apples in addition, and so I know some things about that and some of the struggles, and I'm really happy to bring that perspective.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're happy that you're here. We're going to do some fun things. We are. And I'd just like to share with the group, it was last year, right? The first time Representative Clark had a bill up on urban agriculture and brought in some individuals to testify in front of the Ag Committee for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was so refreshing and enlightening. I mean, they were so happy to be there and everything else. I mean, it was sometimes we take things a little bit for granted, don't we? And we're going to do some good things there as well. So I look forward to working with you. Representative Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pleasure to be here. I represent District 24B, which is Faribault and south of Faribault, Steele, Rice, and Dodge counties. And I actually grew up on two different farms. Brockford is where I was kind of born and raised, and my father had an 80-acre nursery farm. And at age 6 or 7, I remember the motion vividly. It's between each tree, we had about 250,000 trees, and between each tree, you had to hoe the weeds about a foot apart from each other. So the motion kind of still sticks at night sometimes, just hoeing those weeds. And then we moved up north to Bemidji area, and he bought about 340 acres, and most of it was just used for cattle ranching. And since we were teenagers, that was his labor force, and I remember fixing some of the old square balers and trying to keep it going for the next week. And so I grew up on a farm, both tree and a cattle ranch, and I appreciate what the farmers do. I mean, it's hard work. It's long weeks, and I'm excited to be on the committee and just see what kind of good we can do for our local farmers, and thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. Representative Bennett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm honored and excited to be on this committee with everyone here. I'm Peggy Bennett. I am from District 27A, which is a neighbor to Representative Poppy, Albert Lee, and surrounding communities. And I really wanted to be on an agriculture committee just because we have a lot of rural people, a lot of farmers in my community. I'm a teacher with my background. I've taught for 33 years at the elementary level. I don't have an agriculture background, but I'm rural at heart, and I have friends who have a horse farm, love to go out and help them, you know, put fence up, all that good stuff, and I have a real heart for farmers, so I'm looking forward to working on this committee.
Thank you. Welcome. So, Representative Pearson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Nels Pearson, and I actually grew up near the chair's district over in Butterfield, Minnesota, and I grew up on a dairy farm near Butterfield, so it's almost like a Minnesota sappy cliche. However, I do now live in Rochester and represent the good folks in 14 of the townships in Olmsted County, and I do live in Rochester. I have a brother that's still on the farm. I don't farm myself, but I do eat. And I'm wearing clothes, and I want to remind everyone that, of course, agriculture impacts not just the production side, but our consumption side, and I think it's important to be aware that our affordable prices in the food that we eat and the clothes we wear, fuel we burn, is all greatly impacted by agriculture, and so I'm honored to be on this committee and in such an impactful component of our state's economy.
Thank you. Welcome. Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dale Lewick, represent District 10B, that's Aiken County and most of rural Crow Wing County. I grew up on a small dairy farm, and in those days, my dad worked in the iron mines at Crosby Ironton, and they worked 7 days a week, 10, 12 hours, so you know who did the farming, at least in the summertime, because the mines pretty much shut down in the winter. My brother and I milked cows before we went to school every morning, and we came right home from school and milked cows again. My wife and I farm that same ground. We don't milk cows anymore, though we raise beef cattle. And since I'm sitting here, you know who's looking after the beef cattle today. But I really look forward to serving with the members here, and agriculture is just hugely important to the state, and we've got a little bit of everything where I come from. We've got buffalo, we've got beef cattle, we got dairy, we got wild rice, we got turkeys, you name it. We've still got a couple mink farms up in that country. So thank you, sir.
Well, welcome. Representative Gruenhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this is my first time on the Ag Finance Committee, so I'm looking forward to that, and I've got a number of issues to address on that. I grew up on a large dairy farm of 240 acres. We had dairy cows, pigs, sheep, and chickens. And I can remember, I grew up in a day where a number of farmers had 80 acres and were making a pretty good living. And that's changed dramatically. But still have a lot of farming community, a lot of livestock, and also crops in my area, and some of the what I consider to be the most wonderful people in the state of Minnesota is the farming community. They work hard. A lot of them do 24/7, and they provide us food, which I find to be a necessity in my life. Okay, part of my education was at Dr. Martin Luther Academy, and I was on the football team there. We played Butterfield on our homecoming, and they beat us 63-0.
Take that.
So I will not be working with Representative Pearson on anything, okay, until he apologizes for embarrassing us.
That's good. So, Representative Miller.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members and staff. It is such a joy to be a part of this committee. I'm very excited about where we're going to go with this. My district is 17A, and I always love when I hear townships and towns because I have counties. I have Swift County, Chippewa County, almost all of Renville County. Representative Torkelson has two of my townships there, and then I have four townships in Candiohi County on the southern side. I want to take a moment to thank not only the FFA members who have chosen to come here today, and thank you for the nice reception that you gave us last night and the great free food. I'm learning real quick as a legislator that free food is a good thing. Plus, a chance to eat is another one. So thank you for combining that with your event. But I want to thank the people who organize and run FFA also. This is our next generation, and I want to give just a little bit of a snapshot of my district in a second, but we need you. And we look forward to the ways that you are going to bring agriculture into the next generation. So thank you very much for participating in that. My district has sugar beets. I drive a sugar beet truck. That's an invite to anyone that wants to come out in the fall and jump in a semi with me. It's a good time. But we have the corns and beans. I live in the center of the turkey universe. If you want to know the center of the turkey universe, just come to my area and you will see turkeys everywhere. But it's the largest production of eggs, and I believe the largest production of actual turkeys in the world. But I know the production of eggs, it's the center. Hogs, we have a growing dairy industry in our area that I'd like to see grow more. But we also have one of the biggest tile companies, Princeco, in my hometown. We have Case. We have agrochemical companies, we have Westcon, other co-ops that are some of the biggest in the state. So it is very important for me to be part of this, and I enjoy it, and I look forward to the ways that we can improve our ag economy. Very so nice. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Anderson, I represent District 9A, which is Cass, Wadena, and Todd County. The majority of my district is agriculture, although it does include the Brainerd Lakes area, so we've got more of the recreational side up there. So, but again, the majority of it is agriculture. I grew up in Wadena. Wadena's a farming community. Now, I didn't farm. I actually used to love going out to some of the farmers and helping them bale hay with some of my buddies. I was on the other side of the food spectrum. My dad owned a Red Owl store. So we are into the retail side of it. Currently, I'm a professional pilot by trade, but I just started an adventure here with my wife. It's 2 years. We just finally got it up and running this last year, where we are now using more and more of the agriculture products. We're using products not only from Minnesota but all the way over to from Germany. We started a brewery up near Gull Lake. We actually named it in honor of the Gull Lake Dam. It's called Gull Dam Brewing. We think everybody should have a Gull Dam beer. So we're doing our best to utilize as much of the Minnesota products in every single beer that we've made. And so far, you can even grow hops in Minnesota, which a lot of people don't know that. But hops is becoming more and more of a commodity because right now certain hops are very rare. And right now, every single one of our beers has some hops. They're called Cascade hops, and they're being grown just south of Brainerd. So beer, jets, and politics seems to work for me.
Yeah. So I almost got the rule book out, under 2.31, offensive language. So I'm just the gall dam piece. I'm just teasing. All right. I'm just teasing.
Mr. Chair, dam is spelled with an M. That's actually a noun. When you use an N, yeah. We used to get slapped with that.
Yes, yes. So, all right, did we miss anybody? Me. So, hey, all right. Yeah, for the next hour, it's all about me. So, well, I'm Rod Hamilton. It's an absolute honor to be able to chair the committee, friends. Absolute honor. It's an honor to serve. I've served now for 11 years. Gosh, where's time go, right? Where's time go? Just like that, Representative Hansen and I were roommates on freshman orientation, weren't we? Yeah. So it goes just like that. Our kids were this big. Not even. Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I didn't grow up on a farm. I grew up in town. And so when I graduated high school, I'd like to say it was with honors, but I'd be lying. Idle hands get in trouble. And it was my uncle that was in Minnesota that said, kid, I'm going to move you to Minnesota, throw you on a farm and work you hard. And he did just that. He had me taking care of hogs, milking cows for a neighbor, and boxing groceries at the local Harmony IGA grocery store. I made $9,000 a year and had absolutely no benefits. Welcome to the real world, right? A friend of mine called, said, Rod, do you like raising pigs? I said, Jeff, I don't know anything else. Just find me a job because my uncle's going to work me to death. So he got me a job interview. I went in there and interviewed for the job, and they didn't hire me. I think it was because of the earring and the mullet. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. So, but they did call back 2 weeks later and said, we'll give him a shot. And I overheard the farm manager say, you told me this Hamilton kid was green, but you didn't tell me he was bright green. He doesn't know a thing about agriculture. And that was back in the late 80s. And here we are today. You know what? I don't take anything for granted. I'm very, very happy to be here. And when I was elected, I was just surprised as my mom, right? I love my mom. You'll hear that a lot. But, you know, and it was interesting. Representative Clark and I, we've had a few conversations. And, you know, when you hear about the controversy in agriculture, food versus fuel, organics versus conventional, traditional, I mean, you know, it just goes on and on and on, right? Urban versus rural and all that. And it was the past president of the Corn Growers said, you know, Representative Hamilton, I quote you when I talk about agriculture. And I said, uh-oh, what'd I say? And he simply said, I want it all. I want it all. There's room for everybody. And I do have one rule for testifiers, and I say, please, you know, we're not going to tear down one segment of agriculture trying to promote another. We want to hear about the positives, the benefits of this. And I think some of the initiatives that we move forward will reflect that. And it's one of the things that if we're doing something that may have a negative impact or anything like that out, you know, on the land or whatever, what we want is we want the sound science behind that, and not only point out what we're doing wrong, but also provide solutions on how to make it right. Because I would go as far as saying that, you know, everybody, you know, the people want to do what's right. They want to do what's right, and so we're looking for some direction there as well. I am thrilled about the diversity makeup of this committee. I'm absolutely thrilled. You take a look, we have, you know, all walks of life from all areas of the state, and that's what it's all about, friends. That's what it's all about. And so, you know, I like to think that I run a fair committee. If you have ideas, please, I want to hear them. Representative Poppy and I, we've met already and discussed a few things, and we'll continue to do that. I very much want to you to be a part of putting the bills together, and Representative Keel, yourself as well, giving direction there, and everybody. I mean, if you have thoughts and whatever, bring them forward, because we're all in this together, friends. We're all in this thing together. And so I do have in the packet, there's some rules there, committee rules and procedures. And I like former Chair Al Junkie would say, I have one rule. We don't have any rules, and you know, and I like that, and for the most part, you know, that's the way we're going to operate this. You know, Representative Poppy and I, we reviewed this together and went through it, and it's just an outline, friends, and we're going to start on time, we're going to end on time. That's all there is to it. And if you come late, it's up to you to get yourself caught up in what you had missed, okay? We're not going to go back and revisit it because you weren't able to get here on time. And we are going to end on time. And so we're going to be very respectful of that, because many times we have another committee coming in right after us. I put in here a 24-hour rule for amendments. And basically, in talking with Chair Poppy as well, and Vice Chair Keel. Basically what this is for staff and for the public. And so if we have major amendments or anything like that, we want to get that posted. We want to get staff some time to be able to get those drafted for us as well, because Mr. Sullivan, you do have children, right? You do like to go home and see them once in a while, right? Okay. So that is the Mr. Sullivan provision. And I'm teasing there a little bit, but again, just being respectful to both the public and staff there. And if you want to save anything, put it in save file, obviously. And what else? Chair Junkie always had a coffee can. If your phone went off, it'd be a buck. It goes into the coffee can, and if you answered it, it was $5, and then we bought coffee for everybody. So just keep that in mind. We might have to, you know, re-author that up as well. So I don't know, is there any questions about the rules? We're going to be pretty flexible, friends. On amendments, if you have simple amendments or whatever, bring it forward. If it's a major amendment and it doesn't meet the 24-hour rule, what I'd like to do is converse with the vice chair and the lead, and then we'll you know, give it a thumbs up and thumbs down, right? And so we're going to be pretty flexible on that as well, okay? So questions, comments, wise remarks? All right. Yes, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just checking on absences. On Thursday, Representative McNamara and I have to attend a meeting off campus, and so we may not be back at time. So would it be best to say, to request an absence, and then if we do make it back, then that can be corrected? What's your suggestion on those things?
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Yes, if you would let us know in advance, and if you make it back, you'd be counted as being in attendance, okay? And, you know, we're not going to have unexcused absences or anything like that. We'll work with you on that. But just try to get up with Mr. Bratz or Mr. Nisley on letting us know that you're going to be gone. That'd be great. So, okay, so we can have it reflect accordingly. Okay? Thank you for the question. Any other questions about the rules? We don't need no stinking rules, right? Oh, this committee, I digress, guys. So, now we're going to have some fun. Next we have, right on schedule, right, Mr. Bratz? Right on schedule. We have individuals from the FFA officers. If you can make your way down to the front. We thought it would be nice today. We wanted it to go over the introductions. We're trying to work out the kinks here and everything as well, so we want to make sure that it's going to be flow nicely, right? I'm pointing at you, Mr. Nisley. So we'll make sure that we work out the kinks. And it is FFA Day on the Hill, right? Something to that effect. So if you would, please introduce yourself for the record, and why are you here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll start. And members of the committee, I am Brady Wolf, and I am from the Morris area. I grew up in Morris and currently live in Starbuck. And I'll go into further detail after I let my partner in crime introduce himself.
Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Sam Johnson. I am serving as a Region 7 president this year, which is South Central Minnesota, and I'm originally from Glenville, Minnesota, in way south central, close to the Iowa border.
Welcome.
Currently, I am a freshman at South Dakota State University studying agricultural economics and pre-law. My plan is to actually go into public policy, so being here is quite an honor for me.
Well, we're glad you're here. So what do you have to share with us here today?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, first I'd like to just share my story with FFA and kind of how I got to be sitting where I am right now. As I said, I grew up in Morris. I grew up on my family farm that my grandpa started, and in ninth grade, 2010, I joined FFA, and I was very excited to join because my father was in it and both my two older brothers were in it, so it was a family tradition for me. And with that, I had a great advisor and great ag teacher that pushed me to do more and more in FFA. Natasha Mortensen was my advisor. Some of you may have heard of her. And as I continued the next year, we actually got to add another ag teacher, which was very helpful for our community and our school, providing more opportunities for the members in our chapter and the kids, students in our ag education courses. But I became very involved with FFA. I served as a chapter officer 3 times, as a region officer in Region 3 twice, and then now currently I am serving as the state treasurer. And with my FFA experience, I gained knowledge and in the agriculture field and definitely strengthened my interest in agriculture, and so now I am currently attending South Dakota State University for a 2-year general ag degree, which then I plan to use and bring back home to my family beef operation, where we raise 350 cow-calf pairs right south of Starbuck, Minnesota.
Very nice, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Johnson?
Similar to Brady, I come from a family farm in southern Minnesota raising crops, soybeans, and cattle. I come from a very small school with a very small chapter, only having one teacher. But still, it is very vital for me to have had that opportunity to be in FFA in agriculture education. It's something that was really life changing for me and really devoted my future to the agricultural industry in some way or another. This is FFA in agriculture education has really shown me how the disconnect between some consumers and agriculturists themselves, and that's something that I really want to work towards in the future is closing that gap between some consumers and agriculturalists to have them realize the importance of agriculture, and then it's not just farming, then it's more than just farming in the production.
Very nice. Do we have any questions for these two testifiers? We do have a couple after you, do we not?
Correct. And then we have a little more to talk about with based on the FFA. But
okay. So you want to ask a question, Rips and Poppy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the opportunity last evening to speak with Mr. Wolf, and so I appreciated that opportunity, but I did not have the opportunity to speak with Mr. Johnson. And I had a question because you said you are attending Southwest Minnesota State, and I know that they are just adding an ag education program, and I'm wondering if that, how you were influenced to attend Southwest Minnesota State, and if that's in your future at all, thinking about ag education.
Mr. Johnson.
I'm actually chairman.
Always go through the chair.
Yep. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm actually in attendance at South Dakota State University along with Brady's, but Southwest is doing an ag education major, and they're starting one, which is very, very welcoming and exciting to see that we're having more opportunities for students to get involved in agriculture education.
My apologies, and I misheard. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry that I misheard that, but and thank you for doing the plug for Southwest Minnesota State, because I think that's important for us to try to keep these students within our state. You know, and one of the frustrations I've had over the course of the last couple of years, and I know Chair Hamilton also shares this, is the number of students we educate for ag education in the state of Minnesota is a very small number, and so unfortunately that kind of pushes some students towards South Dakota State, North Dakota State, UW River Falls, Iowa State, other places. And as much as we can keep all of you to be educated K-12 here, but also higher ed here, we'd encourage that. So any that are still in the audience that are maybe still in high school, maybe we can look at trying to get you to come to Southwest Minnesota State or some of our other state universities or the University of Minnesota. So thank you for your attendance today.
Yeah, Representative Poppy's been a champion on that, to say the least. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To piggyback Representative Poppy's question, I spoke with a couple FFA chapter members last night and asked the question, in high school, what are some things that could draw people, students more interested in the agricultural fields? We have a workforce. You'll hear about workforce shortages as you get older. And in ag, we have one of those challenges. And I asked them at the high school level what could be some things that could be done to interest students to get involved in classes, in coursework, maybe FFA. What are some things that you would recommend? So they gave me their answers. I'd like to hear your answers to that question.
So who would like to take that? So Representative Wolf, or Mr. Wolf, you just got a promotion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with that, I think one thing that is very key to promoting careers in agriculture is showing the diversification of agriculture. A lot of kids or a lot of students just think to be an agriculture career, you have to be a farmer. And that is definitely not the case, as agriculture is one of the largest employers in our nation. And we need to show that to be involved with agriculture, you don't have to be just a farmer. You can be an accountant. You can be a farm accountant. You can be a grocery store manager, and just show all the different opportunities and how no matter what your interests are, you can somehow find a way to be part of the agriculture industry.
Very nice. Representative Miller, follow-up? No?
Thank you.
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine's more just of a comment, and I hope that all the young people in the room, it's exciting with technology, and I was thinking about what Representative Fabian had said about the drones, and so I hope you guys have a lot of fun implementing all the cool stuff out there. I know I used to work in the GIS industry, publishing a magazine and website that covered some of that, and as it's been incorporated into ag, it's been pretty cool to see how the farm mapping and maximizing crop has really become what you guys like to do, maybe on more so your personal time, and it's exciting, I'm sure, to see it happening at work. So I'd say don't lose your dreams and make sure to
always, even if it's a crazy idea, run it by someone, because you could be the next guy feeding the world in a much simpler, easier way. Or gal.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you, Representative Metz. Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering, when you were talking about things that would interest young folks, one of the questions I'd have is, are any of the courses that you're taking or will be taking focusing on year-round farming in Minnesota? Some of the things that we're starting to do now with hoop houses and so on, both rural and urban farming, is that anything that's being discussed?
Yeah, great question. Who would like to take that one?
Chairman and members of the
committee. Johnson.
I guess year-round farming is something that we have in part of a three-circle model for agriculture education. I think it's on a handout. I don't know if it's in your package or not, but it's down in the bottom corner. Three-circle model, I mean, one of the models is experimental learning, and that's our SAE. It's something that focuses on getting the students outside of the classroom and have not necessarily a job, but some sort of volunteer worker. It could be a job that you do year-round to kind of get them exposed to agriculture and different aspects of that. And something that is very beneficial to help maybe future career options, or maybe decide if you want to do something in agriculture or not. I mean, we hope that it gears you towards agriculture, but for some it's deciding what part of agriculture you want to be in. And I guess that's something about year-round that's really helpful, is having that job or outside of classroom experience.
Representative Clark, follow-up? Oh, okay. So do you have additional on your presentation? Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. All right, so you're chomping at the bit. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to add to where Sam had just previously mentioned, was this three-circle model down in the bottom left-hand corner of your page. If you could just refer to that again. The middle, as you can see, is it says tomorrow's leaders. Another thing we like to look at is where all three circles intersect. We like to call that just ag education, because ag education is made up of three components, and the three components are the experiential learning, which is our SAE, is what we call it in FFA, which is your supervised agriculture experience, and then with that you have your classroom instruction, which it happens in your high school classroom, and then lastly you have FFA and you have leadership, which is the roles we are sitting in today. So I'd like to start out and talk a little bit about the classroom side of things. That's one thing that we really think of when we hear the word agriculture education, is we think of that classroom setting. And so, as I had previously mentioned, I grew up in a school where our ag education program is one of the stronger ones in the state, and I am very grateful for that, because I have seen it change my life, and I have watched it change many other people's lives that come through our high school. And it's something that's very important to ag education, and helps us educate people to be successful in the agriculture industry, and maybe spark an interest in the agriculture industry, or keep them interested in and keep them coming back to agriculture as a career.
Thank you. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the other part of the FFA is something that as you on the back part, you can see that there's premier leadership and personal growth. 74 members have the opportunity to serve as regent or state officers throughout the year, and that's probably one of our largest ways to gain that leadership experience through FFA, and working with individuals such as yourselves or other business industry leaders. FFA also works towards CDE or career development events. They are contests that focuses on certain parts of the agriculture industry to get you exposed to it, and hopefully strike that passion within the agriculture industry in one way or another.
Very nice. So, anything else, gentlemen?
I would like to just add some more to the last circle, if I can, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Absolutely.
With the SAE, I'll just share my personal story with my SAE, or supervised agriculture experience. Is I worked for my father on our family farm, on our beef farm, and so my title in an SAE was beef production placement, which mean I worked for someone. And then I also had entrepreneurship because I own my own cattle and I have marketed embryos to my dad, and also I've had the opportunity to market embryos to Australia. So that's been something that's been very great for me, and it's been a great learning experience for me, and I've seen it be a great learning experience for other members in the organization. And not only is our experiential learning a production side of things, we also have members that are doing things like home and community development, where a member in my chapter would speak to other students and other schools about depression, and then that was her SAE in home and community development. And in reference to your question, we have exploratory SAEs, so someone can be exploring something new like year-round farming where they're doing something in a greenhouse. And at my chapter, we had a greenhouse and a school garden, and so a handful of members would take on that responsibility and be in charge of that, and that would become their SAE, and they could learn more about that on a first-hand basis.
Very nice. You know, it was interesting, right before committee meeting, Representative Kahn was in here, and she had talked to me, and she gave us all the challenge to get FFA and ag in all the high schools, is what we were talking about. So we need your help, guys. We need your help on all that. So any other questions? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this could either go to Mr. Johnson or Mr. Wolf. I've always been so impressed with the public speaking skills of the FFA members when they come to our committee or here to the legislature. We meet you at your receptions. What emphasis does FFA place on public speaking, and how do you go about implementing that curriculum into your lives?
Mr. Wolf or Mr. Johnson would like to do that.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the public speaking is a part that we really try to focus on to develop them as leaders. And there's within our classroom, there's courses that they can take in regards to the public speaking to kind of help them develop different speeches or how to do outlines and stuff like that. Or also in regards to the FFA, there's contests such as public speaking, which I've participated in, or extemporaneous speaking, which I've also participated in, to kind of help them start somewhere on how to make them speeches and grow as the years go on. And it's a way that we try to develop them as leaders and make them as good industry professionals, and then also as good citizens of the of their communities.
And if I could piggyback off of that too, as Sam said, I was also in a speaking CDE or career development event. I was in the creed speaking, so I memorized the FFA creed, a 5-paragraph creed, and then I spoke that and answered questions about that. And another thing we also stress in FFA and in agriculture is networking. We really believe in networking and making connections with people throughout government officials and throughout the industry, and we think that can serve us well in our future. And also we believe in communication, because with the age of the smartphone, we are losing our face-to-face communication skills, and that's one thing that we don't want to lose in FFA, is we still want to know how to have a face-to-face conversation with someone and carry on a good conversation.
Very nice. Representative Fabian, follow-up?
Okay.
Oh, all right, we have Representative Anderson and then Representative Pearson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if either of you are looking at going into ag education, but that seems to be one area that we have a chronic shortage of instructors in that area. As you just coming out of a high school and into a college setting, what things do you think we could do as a state or as a body here to encourage more people to go into the education part of agriculture?
So, Mr. Johnson?
Chairman and members of the committee, I guess a good thing you point out is that shortage of teachers in general, and specifically agriculture educators. Something that is with all teachers and most educators is the salary is quite low, and that's something that high schoolers, seniors really look at, is they want that high-paying job. I mean, that's something that's really hard to focus on, as that varies by district to district, but to encourage them to go into that agriculture field is something that is really, it's something that we struggle with every day. just the encouragement and getting that interaction in the classroom starting at a young age, in some 7th grade, some 9th grade, is something where we try to push that, and I mean that's a constant struggle that we have. A specific way to increase the enrollment in agriculture education majors is, I don't think we have an answer for it yet, but I mean we're trying for it now.
Chair Anderson. We'll spend about 5 more minutes or less with these 2 individuals, Representative Pearson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I, in no offense to the those that are here speaking on behalf, but I did get the opportunity to meet with you guys last night at the reception, and I had learned where the rest of the officers are at this time, and I was wondering if you could share with the rest of the committee why we're, again, no offense, but we're with a regional president and the treasurer. I was wondering where the rest of these guys are guys and gals are at.
Mr. Johnson or Mr. Wolf, where is everybody?
Mr. Chair and Representative Pearson, we actually, as state officers, we have the opportunity to go on an international trip. And so the other 5 state officers are in South Africa at the moment, and they will be returning this Saturday. And I did not attend the trip, as I will have other opportunities throughout the year, like going to Washington, D.C. for National Ag Day in March. But the rest of them are enjoying their time in South Africa, learning about the diversity of agriculture around the world and the similarities and differences of agriculture that we have with South Africa.
Very nice. Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for sharing.
All right, thank you. Well, gentlemen, you two are fantastic. You did a great job. You have 3 minutes if you want any closing comments. Otherwise, we're going to bring the next 2 up here.
Mr. Chair, if I could, please. I'd also like to go back to Representative Anderson's question with the ag teacher shortage. That's one thing that I feel we and FFA feels we need to focus on as a team and work together to get that problem resolved, because as we see, it is a large issue, as many programs are trying to add a teacher for the first time, or trying to replace a teacher that left, or even trying to replace a second or third teacher as they grow their programs, as the agriculture education programs grow in the schools. And as Mr. Johnson said, we'd like to see more ag education programs in those urban areas too, to bridge that gap between the consumer and the producer, and so we could get them more educated. And as Representative Poppy had mentioned, it was a great victory for us when we added the agriculture education degree at Southwest State, and that was very exciting for us, and that's one thing that we're looking at with Crookston too, that we're excited with and hoping to get it started up there at Crookston also, because before it was only Minnesota, the University of Minnesota in St. Paul, where you could get an ag education degree, so you were losing many students to NDSU, SDSU, and River Falls, as you said. And also, being on the state officer team, I got lots of grief for not going into agriculture education, and I still get lots of grief, but I also say somebody needs to feed the people too, and somebody needs to do the dirty work, so
that's right.
That's what I'm focusing on, but I think it's definitely it's a career that is needed, and it's a career that has changed my life and changed the lives of many others, so it's something that we need to focus on. And the thing is too, is Mr. Johnson mentioned with the salaries, is the schools have to compete with the agriculture industry also, because in industry, the agriculture education degree is a well sought after degree. And so one thing we can also do as a governing body is extend those summer days too, because an ag teacher is working all year round, but they're only getting paid for the months that they're in school.
Thank you. Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, I just had an idea. I wonder what the young folks think of this. You know, we provide tuition forgiveness for doctors and nurses and others who return to certain areas that are underserved. And I'm just thinking maybe that's an idea we could work on in this area too, including both, again, rural and urban agriculture educational opportunities. Just something to think about.
So either you want to comment on that, or you're both shaking your heads in agreement.
Mr. Chair, if I could, please.
Mr. Wolf.
Yes, we are we are focusing on that, and I was talking to the Minnesota Agriculture Association for Agriculture Educators, MAAE, person about that last night at our luncheon, and that is one of the 6 points that they are trying to bring across this year is tuition forgiveness for agriculture educators.
There you go. So, well, very nice. Thank you, too. You did a fantastic job. So if we could just recognize them, guys. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Now we have two others that would like to come up and talk about. We're talking about the Ag Policy Experience, right? All right. So if you'd please make your way up here and state your name for the record. So they were pretty easy on the boys, right? So we're saving all the tough questions for you two. So, all right, you ready? All right, state your name for the record.
My name is Amanda Stafford.
My name is Kayla Kutsky.
What's the last name?
Kutsky.
Kutsky, okay, thank you. And Staffer, right? All right, thank you so much. And if you'd like to begin.
So today, I'll just start off. I'm from the Forest Lake FFA chapter, so that's just north of the cities. I serve as a chapter secretary as well as the region for treasurer, which ranges from Hinckley, Minnesota to Hastings, and then from our Wisconsin border out to Buffalo and St. Cloud area. But today, these past 2 days, we've been here for Ag Policy Experience, which changed. Before it used to be called boot camp, now it's experience, and I'm going to talk about yesterday, and Kayla's going to talk about today. Yesterday, we're thankful for all of the representatives and senators that came to our reception last night. It was wonderful. We had more leaders from the Capitol than we had members yesterday, so that was a great thing that none of us were left alone. But we also were able to talk to Tom Peterson, Santo Cruz, Commissioner Fredrickson. We had a big panel where we were able to ask them questions, as well as talking about building bridges and not burning bridges, and the power of influence. Those are all main things that we learned that we need to take out of when we're talking to people about policy, or even just trying to get to know someone, that those are all going to impact our future, and especially with legislators. If we don't have a good representation with you guys, you're not going to listen to us, because you wouldn't see us good if we didn't build those bridges. You want to talk to me?
Mr. Chairman, representatives, so today I don't have as much to talk about as it is still earlier in the morning, but this morning we had a welcome from Chairman Hamilton, and then we went to meet with our mentors. So there were 7 different groups that went and toured around the Capitol, and we were able to meet with other representatives, and we met with some of you, I'm sure. And we just kind of learned about what happens in the Capitol, and we saw different rooms and different parts of the Capitol, like where they revise bills. And then today, I would like to apologize for the other 25 of us that left. They had to go back and continue on with the conference, where we will be heading back after the committee meeting. They are doing a mock Senate today, so we are focusing on the Wolf Pack, the school day start before Labor Day, and also GMO labeling.
Very nice. So do we have any questions for the two? Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, that is an interesting point with the GMO labeling, and I was just wondering if I could get a young person's perspective on where you're at personally, not necessarily as an organization, with that idea.
Yeah. Who would like to take that? So, Staffer, right? Ms. Staffer.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman and members, representatives. Personally, I think that GMO labeling, it shouldn't be here at, like, Minnesota level. Because companies like General Mills, they would have to create labeling that would state if it's GMO just for Minnesota, and then they would have different labels for other states. So the amount that companies would have to invest in changing the labeling and then having it different depending on where they're distributing their product to would be a lot more heck than we have. And just keeping it that the national level, the federal level, they should be the ones deciding if everyone should do it or not, because it's just going to be so hard. Because what about the products that we bring into Minnesota? We would either have to stop getting products from out of state, or they would have to change their labeling to fit our new policy if it passed.
Representative Metza? Follow? Yeah, very nice. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Stafford, I was very impressed by your comment about building bridges. One of my favorite parts of serving in the legislature is sitting in committee, where we get to learn a lot. And we learn a lot from other organizations, and I've already learned a lot from FFA, and I want to learn a little bit more from FFA. I would, if you could share with us about what you learned yesterday about building bridges, and maybe we can benefit from that.
So, thank you. Yes. Ms. Stafford, would you like to take that one? Or?
Yes, I will. Thank you, okay. Chair, Representative. I think building bridges, yesterday we learned about the idea that it doesn't matter how big the bridge is. You just have to recognize that the other side of the bridge can have like a differing opinion, but you just still have to be open to make sure that like support between the bridge is there, and you don't want to destroy that bridge because in the future you may need to return back to them. I know we heard several of the board members and some of the other members that were talking to us yesterday. They mentioned how when they're talking to people outside of government, they use a lot of going back to their friends from childhood or people that they knew when they were younger or just got to know a little, and those people have big opinions and their voice matters as well, so that keeping and building those bridges just continues, that you may have a million bridges, but all those bridges are leading you somewhere when you need it.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I think that's a wonderful metaphor, and thank you for enlightening us.
No problem.
So, any other questions? So, I have a question for Ms. Kutsky, right? Kutsky?
Yep.
So, what'd you think of this morning's speaker?
Well, Mr. Chairman and representatives, I really enjoyed hearing about his story and how he got to where he is today. It was really cool to see how you can start as one type person and just go to being where he is today, and how inspiring that is. And that Christensen Farms, I've heard a lot about it, and I just think it's a really cool opportunity that you were able to work for that company.
Mr. Chairman, if I may add.
Guys, I wasn't looking for a response. I was making a joke. But please, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Fellow representatives, most of you guys heard his speech when he was talking about himself earlier. It was like he recorded it and replayed it to you guys earlier, because that was pretty much what he said earlier.
Well, you know. So that's all I got to talk about is me. I'm teasing. Anything else? Any other questions, members? Yeah,
Representative Metz. I was just going to point out, Mr. Chair, they're on to us.
They are. Absolutely. They are. So, no, you two are absolutely fantastic. You did a wonderful, wonderful job. Thank you for being here as well. You, along with the other two gentlemen, have bright futures ahead of you. No question about it. So, would you like to say anything in closing?
Yes, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Earlier when Mr. Wolf and Mr. Johnson were up here, I know Senator, Representative Poppy, you mentioned about Southwest State, and Effie, you mentioned about Southwest State, and I thought that was kind of funny because we didn't talk yesterday, but that's where I'm planning on going, as well as into ag education. And I know one of those things when you guys were talking about ag education is one of the things that really could change, though, too, is preparing those people that decide to go into the business majors. Generally, they're not as educated as the people that go into the ag education field to fill those business positions. So if business education was more being able to fit that ag education when they go into business, it works better than having to teach the business leaders more about ag when they get to business.
So that brought up another question from Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it true that Representative Poppy has a scholarship foundation that she set up for Southwest State? No, I'm kidding.
So I'm Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, you know, I'm a counselor at Riverland Community College. For those that don't know that. And Riverland is also starting some new ag two-year programs based on precision ag, so you'll be pleased with that. And so I'm hoping that we would be a feeder school for Southwest State as well as our other state universities. But I just strongly encourage, and I really appreciated your comment just now about how if students are going into ag business, maybe the business classes need to be reformed a little bit so that they're more reflective of the ag education so that they wouldn't steal all of the ag ed students. Mm-hmm. I think that's very insightful, and so I very much appreciate your comment on that.
Thank you. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the point of the technical colleges and so forth, I think one of the issues that we should have a discussion one day is the farm business management courses that are taught through MinSCU, through some of the technical school colleges, and what's going on there. I think it's something that we need to address. I know Representative Keel is intimately involved with that as well. So
yes,
an FYI.
Thank you, Representative Fabian, and spoke to Representative Keel and Representative Poppy, and they brought up that same thing. So we will be having a hearing on that too. So I just want to thank you once again. You guys are fantastic. You did a great job, and Mr. Wolf, Mr. Johnson, you did as well. So if we could just recognize them too. Okay, is there Representative Clark?
Yeah, just thinking, Representative Fabian, Mr. Chair, when you mentioned the education, one of the other things, I mean, I grew up on a farm, I think I forgot to mention that earlier, in Rock County.
Yeah.
My dad was very involved as a farmer in agriculture extension, which, as I understand, has been deeply cut back. So it seems to me existing farmers need those opportunities too. I mean, I have images of him sitting down doing his ledger on his inputs and outputs, and you know, in those days there weren't a lot of chemicals, and so the farming was naturally organic basically, but he still had all these principles that he followed in terms of crop rotation and all the things that the University of Minnesota Agriculture Extension Service offered to rural farmers and actually families. My mother was involved in the women's extension, whatever it was. So I just wonder about that. I don't know. I mean, that's been cut back so much, and so not only the young people, but our existing farmers, I know, can certainly benefit from that too. And maybe we can talk about that at some point.
Representative Clark, thank you so much, because I was at the Lamb and Wool reception here about a month or so ago, and they brought up the fact that they don't have anyone in extension to address their needs. So we will do something. We will do something on that, maybe in policy or something as well. But you're absolutely right. Thank you for bringing that up. So anything else? Vice Chair Keel, anything else? Poppy, you have some announcements, Mr. Nisley, or do I? What are the announcements? Announcements. We do have a committee Twitter. We have a Twitter? We have a committee Twitter. So the House Ag Finance Committee, so there will be some information on that as well, in addition to that. The next meeting, Ag Policy meets tomorrow, right, Representative, for Chair Anderson? And we'll have a joint Ag Policy Finance meeting on Thursday, and that's when we're going to meet or introduce Representative Clark's and recognize them. And what's the other one? No. Schedule and application slots. Oh. There's when we post things out online, there's still a few bugs. They changed over the application or whatever online has been switched, so there's a few bugs, so it doesn't show right on when you look it up online. So they're working out, trying to work out those kinks as well. So with that, I think we addressed everything today. Thank you, everybody, and I look forward to our next meeting. We are adjourned.